This week, we're talking about the 2014 movie X-Men Days of Future Past, which is the seventh movie in the X-Men franchise, quite profitable this time, released in 2014. It features an ensemble cast from previous movies set in the past and present because it's a time-traveling storyline. This time out, the most popular character, Wolverine, played by Hugh Jackman, is magically transported back in time to enlist younger versions of his colleagues, Magneto and Dr. Xavier, to help stop something that leads to the end of all mutants and, by extension, the rest of the world. So he has to travel back to the past to save the future, all within the Marvel X-Men franchise. So the reason we picked this film, it's a unique song in a big budget superhero movie. Superhero movies are going full blast by 2014. The song we'll be featuring shortly is Jim Croce's, what's the name of the song?
If I Could Put Time in a Bottle.
Time in a Bottle, yes, thank you. And it's a bit of a contrast between the song itself and the movie and the place it's in. But let's talk a little bit about the movie first. This was a big hit at the time.
It was. The X-Men movies, they were doing pretty well. I mean, I think people liked them less and less as the franchise got on. But this kind of started the trend the other way, especially with First Class coming right before it. It almost revived the series in more ways than one.
So these are serious action movies, heavy. The first few movies are about mutants trying to fit into society. We went back into the past with X-Men First Class, exploring how they got where they were. Kevin Bacon was the villain. Yes, there is 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon in this movie. And none of these movies were musicals, obviously. I think that goes without saying. They weren't terribly funny. Would you say these aren't really funny movies?
They sometimes have some humor in them, a couple witty lines here and there. But it's not like the rest of the Marvel movies where they're going out of their way to be funny.
And I think you've got a high-powered cast at this time. By now, Hugh Jackman, Australian chorus boy, is a star. Patrick Stewart, already established, plays Dr. X, Dr. Xavier. Ian McKellen is Magneto, the older version of Magneto. Villainous, duplicitous villain.
Yeah, and even the younger cast has some pretty big stars too, wouldn't you say?
James McAvoy, yeah, is in there. Jennifer Lawrence is Mystique, yeah. So I think in the movie set in the past, you had younger versions of these characters. And then we still had the older versions, obviously, with seniors Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. And I think the studio made a strong decision to jam them all together in one movie.
Yeah, and of course, Hugh Jackman and Wolverine is played only by Hugh Jackman, because not only is he ageless, but he's the one who goes back in time.
Yeah, and they pepper the movie with a lot of different mutants played by different characters. There's Sunspot, I think, is one of the characters.
Yeah, there's Psylocke, there's Bishop, a lot of characters that people who have watched the movies might not know of or might not even recognize in the runtime of the movie, but I think a lot of comic book fans were really happy to see them.
Yeah, and I think they added extra characters in to try and pad out the movie. The movie takes place in the future, which in 2014, the future was in 2023.
Yeah, so keep an eye out your windows in case the Sentinels start coming.
Exactly, yeah. It's all, if you see some mutant-looking people fighting some giant transmorphic robots, you'll know that the end is nigh.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 UBC. So the movie does start off mysteriously in China. I think that it was an intentional decision to set the movie partially outside of North America, so to appeal to Asian audiences. Does that seem right?
Yeah, which is a bit of a relief because in my memory, I think almost all of the X-Men movies are set around North America.
Right. So one of the stars who didn't have any lines here was Fan Bingbing, who was popular in China at the time. So I think they're really trying to hit a wider audience here. The character of, what did you say the name was, Bishop?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently in the comic, this story, Days of Future Past, is based on a comic. Apparently in the comic, he was more important. He did a lot of time traveling. And in fact, in this movie, at the beginning, he does like a three-day time travel or something.
Yeah, so to get into the plot a bit, at the start of the movie, we see the mutants, what's left of them, are struggling to survive. And really, their only way to survive is that Kitty Pryde can send people back in time, kind of. They have to be lying on a table, and she sends them back to their old self, like into their old body where they were so long ago. So Bishop is often sent back a couple of days to warn them that the Sentinels are coming so that they can escape to their new hideout. However, where we meet them, they're in their last hideout, and there's no more running.
I think, and then in the original comic book, it was Kitty Pryde, I think, who was transported back, or she did the transporting. But in the original story, I think they decided to go with Wolverine, because again, well-known character, and Hugh Jackman by now is a star.
Definitely. So he gets sent back in time to his previous self, and he wakes up in, I believe, 1973.
Sure, yeah, the 70s for sure, yeah. 1973 sounds about right.
And he's back into his old body. He looks the same because, he's lived for like 200 years now, so that's how it goes. And he has to go find Professor X and the other mutants to stop these Sentinels from taking over the world.
So let me set up the song here. So we're painting a picture of Hollywood franchise operating at full steam. This movie would make $800 million in the box office, and it had a huge opening weekend in May of 2014. Serious actors, stage actors, Shakespearean actors like Stewart and McLennan. A heavy-duty story. It's about the fate of the world. And then once we get to the past, we won't get deep into the details about how it's set. Do we want to set this up? Or?
Yeah, so we have to unite the mutants, the good ones and the bad ones. So at first we had Xavier and Hank McCoy is his name?
Yeah,
the Beast.
Yeah, the Beast, yeah. I was going to say Mr. Beast. No, it's not Mr. Beast, the Beast.
But yeah, Wolverine gathers them. And they're going to break Eric Lenscher, Magneto, out of prison, the bad guy of the first two, three movies.
He kind of goes back and forth, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But to do that, they enlist someone's help. And of course, we all know that person is Juggernaut. Well, at least that's how it was originally written. He makes an appearance in X-Men The Last Stand, and he runs through walls and does stuff for the bad guys. But they decided that his character was kind of tired. We had seen him again, so decided to pick another character that would help break Magneto out of jail, which is
Quicksilver. So new to the franchise, it's a well-established character in the comic books. He's fast, is what. There's not too much to say about his character.
In fact, he's really fast. We see later in the film, which we'll get to, that time kind of slows down around him when he wants it to. They go into the prison. They find Magneto and they break him out. But as they're trying to make their escape, they run into a bit of trouble. Some guards are stopping them and ready to fire on them in this kitchen that they have to go through.
So we have Michael Fassbender is younger Magneto. Right. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. James McAvoy is young Dr. Xavier. Quicksilver's just kind of there. So we're trying to set this up. This is a serious moment. We're concerned. How are these guys going to get out of this?
Yeah, fate of the world is in the balance. Professor Xavier's not happy. Magneto's not happy.
The plan's all going wrong.
Yeah.
They're going to get captured.
They're about to get shot, too. And then you hear this song.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. Box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true. The box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. Around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time
with. Jim Croce, Time in the Bottle, 1973-ish. We'll talk a little bit about the history of the song. But suffice to say, the whole movie kind of ground to a halt in a funny way. As soon as the song started, and Quicksilver, we won't describe a lot of the scene because you can find it online. Quicksilver goes into action. Everything's slow motion. This was comical, right?
Yeah, and he really does put the movie to a stop, both metaphorically and kind of literally. We see time slow down around him, and then this song starts playing. It's a total break from the feeling of the movie, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. Once you see that scene in the movie, and it's a break, like you said, Logan, from the humor of it, or to add some humor to it, it's a break from the seriousness. The reason we wanted to talk about that song, this song from this movie, is because after you see this scene and after you hear that song and you see this isn't a hard rocking driving song. This isn't In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. This isn't Radar Love.
No, this isn't Fortunate Son or anything like that.
Yeah, that's right. A Fortunate Son, which we may talk about in another show, a little overused song in movies. So it's an odd juxtaposition. I like to use that word.
Yeah, and it kind of shows off the character of Quicksilver as well. Quicksilver's supposed to be more fun-loving and not as serious as any of the other characters. So, you know, if this was Magneto having this fun little moment aside from the rest of the film, then that would be pretty jarring. But it's really in character for Quicksilver.
Yeah, and it's so enjoyable that when you're watching the movie and you leave the theater, you're sometimes, can we go back to that Quicksilver fast motion 70s song kind of thing?
Yeah, I remember watching the movie and it felt like that's what everyone talked about once the movie was over. Sure, there was a plot going on, you know, the story was good, but that one scene kind of captivated so much of the audience.
So we'll come back to the significance of this song in a second, but one thing we wanted to talk about was overall, what did you think of the movie as a whole?
I have to say, I enjoyed it. It was it's one of the few time travel movies that feels like it's not abusing time travel or really messing things up with it. There's a couple times where it drags, and there's a couple times where, you know, the plot kind of fixes itself, or there's kind of a lot of plot conveniences. But I enjoyed watching it. What about you?
Remember there was that one scene where, because, you know, a good movie puts the characters together, they're on the same frame. And, you know, like I said, we have some pretty high-class quality actors here. This isn't some stuntman trying to fake their way through the role. Remember there was one scene where James McAvoy as younger Xavier talks to Patrick Stewart as older Xavier. Do you remember that?
Right, right. He goes into Wolverine's mind, as it were, to see the current Xavier.
Yeah, it's some clever staging by director Bryan Singer. He did a couple of the other movies, including the original X-Men in 2000. And it's a good moment to put the two together. And it kind of, I think the movie overall, it's a strong character development movie. You've got the trappings of time travel. You've got some action to it. You've got this wonderful song jammed in the middle, but it still expounds on the character's past and future.
Definitely. So if you've watched the first three X-Men movies, then, you know, Professor Xavier is this stoic, knowledgeable, really good guy that, you know, is reliable, would always do the right thing. But then when we see him in the past, he's erratic and he's not happy and he's kind of forfeiting his powers. He doesn't want to use them. So to have this conversation, it's a really powerful conversation between this past and a future form, and to just talk about, you know, what would you say if you could talk to your past self? And it was, you know, a really wholesome moment, I'd say.
That's a good way to say it too, because I think cynically you could look at this as a bit of a cash grab. Like we said, the X-Men franchise was popular at the time. You're putting the most popular actors together, finding a way to jam them in the time. And you've got action sequences such as this during this song. But there is some strong character development, and there is some moving forward of the story in the X-Men as a whole, I would say.
Yeah, and even for a lot of characters who are sometimes good, sometimes bad, like Mystique and Magneto, as we talked about, this shows a lot of why they are who they are and how their perspective on, you know, mutants and on the world kind of makes them bad guys, even though they're not the baddest of guys. They're still good guys in this movie. So
there was a lot of illustration of that in the past movies about mutants being accepted and how that went through society, and that theme was the undercurrent, and this was kind of an extension of that too, I think.
Yeah, the whole idea was that they had to stop Mystique from assassinating someone, because that led to a chain of events that created the Sentinels, the world-ending disaster. Well, maybe not world-ending for everyone, but for the mutants it certainly was. So it was kind of meant to show, you know, fitting in the world. I mean, X-Men has always been a bit of an allegory for other groups that are being persecuted and how they're supposed to respond. And, you know, the X-Men are one response and Magneto's group are another. But we can see them coming together here and, you know, being the bigger person, I think.
I agree 100%. And I think you had a good word there about the development there. But I want to talk a little bit about the song itself, Time in the Bottle by Jim Croce. For those of us who are old enough to remember when it was originally released, which is not me, I could talk a little about the history. And it's funny, if I can ramble on a little bit, there's sort of three aspects of the song. The first aspect, we'll go backwards in time, as befits the movie. So here's a mellow, you know, 70s song, easy listening, that's repositioned for a slam bang action movie for a comedic moment. It's humorous. That's the first, the last take in it. The second part of it is that if you look at the song itself, Time in the Bottle, which Croce wrote for his wife, was released in 1973. It was a number one hit, actually, I discovered. I remember it being played on the radio, a staple of radio, much like other Jim Croce songs. Croce?
I can tell you.
Yeah, people can correct us here in the future. But what's this to dial it down a little bit, is that this song was released posthumously. That Croce died in, when was it? September, yeah, sorry. He died in September of 1973. This song came out in November of 1973. So for those people who would have heard at the time, it would have been very poignant in that this is a song to his wife that he, number one, he didn't see the success of it, having perished before it was released. Number two, it's a song about preserving time, which obviously you can't help but feel painful about that when you're passed on.
Yeah, all those days he talks about saving to spend with his love, it's hard to hear that after knowing that he died so recently after recording it.
Yeah, a plane crash with a group of other people, including his manager,
you said September 1973, depending on when this is coming out and when you're listening to it, is actually 50 years ago.
Yes, that's right, too. So his death was on September 20th, 1973. So depending on when this is broadcast, it would be 50 years from his death in Louisiana, age 30. So this was who knows what Jim Croce would have gone on to doing. I mean, like his work was pretty much in the mellow phase, which a lot of 70s artists were popular at the time, making the similar music, and didn't get to see what he had become. And so it would have been, again, I'll use that word, poignant, to have heard this song on the radio knowing the backstory.
For the best in funk, soul, surf, and more music, tune in to Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Add us on Twitter at Jack Velvet Radio, Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show. Also available, streaming and podcast at jackvelvet.net.
You're listening to That Song from That Movie. We are on 101.9 CITR FM radio, coming at you from Vancouver in UBC.
I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and with me is Logan the Extra. One more thing I wanted to mention about this song is that it's actually not the first time this was featured in a movie. Time in a Bottle was on The Muppet Show in 1977. Lots of songs were on The Muppet Show. But more interestingly, again, we're talking about songs that have an unusual impact on a movie, which is definitely the case here. It was also heard briefly in The Hangover Part 2. It was sung by two of the main gang in the Hangover in an elevator. I guess it was elevator music, and they started to sing along with it. Mm-hmm. Not a terribly significant moment from what I remember, so...
Yeah, as opposed to this movie where it feels like a defining moment.
It's such a defining moment that it kind of took over the whole movie, really.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people in my generation that who didn't grow up with this song, it's the defining moment for that song. I mean, it's hard to think of this song without thinking of the Quicksilver scene, him running around walls and deflecting bullets and stuff. It's... maybe I hadn't heard of it before. I don't think I had, but still, it's firmly implanted in my mind, that scene, whenever I hear the song.
That's a really good point, because it's interesting. That's one of the reasons why we chose this song from this movie, is because for older generation this would have been very poignant, but for your generation it's almost comical to hear this song.
Yeah, it definitely takes on a new meaning, and if you listen to the lyrics during the scene, they kind of fit a bit. I mean, Time in a Bottle, he's slowing down time, but really this is a love song, and it's a really sweet love song, but that's not what the scene's about. So it's kind of funny that they were able to get away with it, as it were.
Yeah, and that reminds me too, during this scene there is a moment where it kind of focuses on the song, like it plays long enough that you lean into it a little bit.
Yeah, it's not like it's buried behind action. It's you end up listening to the song and hearing a lot of the lyrics, but they still make it work. I mean, maybe it's just credit to the scene being so good and well choreographed and just an amazing idea for a scene.
Well, what else did you want to cover for this song?
Yeah, there's some interesting history behind this scene and this song. As we mentioned earlier, Quicksilver wasn't originally in the script for this movie. It was Juggernaut. But they brought Quicksilver in, and in the last couple days of filming, they filmed this scene, the most pivotal scene, and it's nearly at the end, so thank goodness they put it in. And when they were putting it in, they had this song, Time in a Bottle, over it just as a placeholder to help visualize how the scene would go, but they liked it so much, they kept it in.
Yeah, and that's something we'll talk about in future episodes as well, is that there's music to set the scene, pun intended, for the actors and for the the scene itself or the setting itself, and it doesn't always translate into that song becoming the one that's actually in the movie. There's other, lots of stories about that we'll cover off, but in this case, they got the rights to the song.
We don't get to hear all of it in the movie. I mean, it's a long scene, don't get me wrong, but it's not a full 3 minutes. But it's a nice song to listen to. I know for this show, I listened to it in its entirety without the scene. It
stands on its own.
Yeah, it's an easy song to listen to. It's a really sweet song. Maybe I'll have to learn guitar so I can play it. You know, it's just, it's a fun song.
See, but that's the thing. If you're busking, if you're going to play guitar at the subway station, and, you know, anyone over 40 would go, oh, that's that sad Jim Croce song. But anyone younger would go, hey, Quicksilver, X-Men.
Yeah, you'd do well to dress up in a costume if you're busking with this song these days.
See, I think that goes back to what we were saying originally, Jim Croce and his estate. I'm pretty sure when he wrote this song and when he released it under dire circumstances, when he released it, they weren't envisioning this would be a really cool pause in a superhero action slam bang movie.
No, there's a lot of songs that kind of feel like they're meant for a movie. You know, like Freebird comes to mind. I've heard that solo used a lot. And, you know, some really action songs.
Driving songs, yeah, hard rocking songs. This song was meant to be part of a car chase or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But this one is so mellow and so, it's not really about, well, I guess you could put it in a romantic movie, but like we're saying, an action movie, if you were to say, we're going to fit this song in an action movie, people would think you're crazy.
In a future segment, we'll be talking about the movie Baby Driver, which has a prominent moment for the song Hocus Pocus by Focus. And that's a song, for those of you who know it, who is definitely a hard driving, it belongs in a movie kind of song.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 UBC Vancouver. This is that song from that movie. I'm Movie Maverick Mike.
And I'm Logan the Extra. So we've been talking a lot about X-Men Days of Future Past and Quicksilver, but for how much of an impact he had on the movie and what I remember from the movie and hopefully what everyone remembers from the movie, he wasn't actually in it for that long. After they break out of jail and after the scene where he slows down time with the If I Could Stop Time in a Bottle song, he is left behind. I mean, they just kind of walk away from him. I don't know if they knew that scene was going to be a hit. Maybe they would include more of him.
We didn't see him in the future once Wolverine succeeded, right?
No, not in my memory. And but despite this small screen time, he really stole the show. So much so that they felt that they need to get more of him in the next movie, including kind of repeating the scene, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that after the popularity of the movie, of his character and his particular activity of saving the world or crazy action sequence in slow motion to another song, then they had to keep it going for the next one. Thank you for listening to that song from that movie. I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook.
I'm Logan the Extra. You can find a recording of this podcast on CITR's website. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.